Here's the news in 60 seconds from YumaDailyNews.com. A motor cop from YPD has been taken to the hospital after trying to stop a driver from drinking an unknown substance. The driver leaned into the car's open window to get the drink, and the driver sped off with half of the officer's body still in the car. Read more about the incident, YumaDailyNews.com. Abortion through about 22 weeks has been legal here in the Grand Canyon State, but the legislature passed a 15-week abortion ban in March after the Mississippi law was contested before the Supreme Court. Learn more about the new abortion laws, YumaDailyNews.com. A man has been rescued by Sheriff's Office in Yuma County after nearly 10 hours. The man was driving his car when leaped over a canal and hit a fence. A canine unit had been called in from the Border Patrol. See the pictures and read the story, YumaDailyNews.com. The Padres have ended their series against Colorado. Today they will be in Petco Park playing against Arizona in their three-day series. You can get the latest Padres news on the website and listen to the game later tonight live on our talk station, AM 560 KBLU. For the latest local and state stories, go to YumaDailyNews.com. I'm Kendra White.
And the next Arizona Secretary of State, a man who's tough and smart and loves our country, a man who you must get elected, Mark Finchem.
Mark Finchem, the Trump-endorsed candidate for Arizona Secretary of State, is an America First fighter who will stop the election fraud. Finchem has been tested. When Arizonans had concerns about their election, Mark Finchem had the courage to hold the Maricopa hearing that led to the Arizona audit. Then Finchem held the hearing in Pima County. Then Finchem filed legislation to set aside the irredeemably compromised elections in three counties with large margins of error. Mark Finchem took Katie Hobbs to court to end the use of black box tabulation equipment in Arizona. To secure our elections, vote Mark Finchem for Arizona Secretary of State, the fighter we need now.
Paid for and approved by Mark Finchem for Secretary of State.
We made it to the weekend. Whatever your plans are, keep in mind the temperatures are going to continue to run hot through the entire weekend. Even at night, we're not cooling down much at night. 112 the high today. Temperatures tonight in the upper 80s. Tomorrow still sunny and dry, 115. Sunday, there's a very slight chance of a thunderstorm. Most of us will be dry, 110 the high Sunday. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Hope everyone's having a great Friday. Nice and cozy, warm day today. So, I think it's going to hit, what, 114, 15?
I don't even care anymore. It's just hot, and I don't want to go out in it if I don't have to.
So Yuma's a small town, and, you know, we're business owners and that kind of meet each other, and then I follow social media a little bit. And one of the ladies that keeps popping up, either in the media, social media, or I meet around town, works for AWC, and she's my guest today. Her name is Rita Dewan. And Ritika Dewan. Yeah. I knew I was going to mess that up. Sorry. But she's in AWC, Vice President of Workforce Development and the CTE at Arizona. And I keep reading about stuff in the paper and social media. And I said, I got to have her come in here so we can get straightened out as far as what's going on at AWC and around the state. So good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for the invite.
Yep. So I know a lot of things are happening, and we're talking a little bit before this show, and I was unaware of what's happening because you're explaining a little bit. So in a nutshell, before we get going, maybe a little history on yourself and kind of what you've done and how you made your way to Yuma, if you don't mind.
Absolutely, Tom. So I came to Arizona that only lived in La Paz County and Yuma. Lived in La Paz for 2 years as a high school teacher, and Arizona Western College hired me as a math faculty. So I worked since 2009 for Arizona Western College as math and physics faculty, and in 2014 become a department chair for math and engineering. And from there, I applied for the Dean of Career and Technical Education. All the opposite side, from academic to all the technical, you know, blue collar. And went to that side, started as the Dean of CTE, and increased the technical training availability of programs from 24% to now we have 53% students taking those programs.
At AWC?
At AWC.
Oh, that's great.
So currently now I am Vice President for Workforce and Career and Technical Education. So doing all the workforce training. If you need any training from bookkeeping or any needs to do that corporate training in a week to a standard technician certificate from 6 months to a year to a 2 years.
That's great. So, I mean, if you look at other countries, and I use Germany as an example, a lot of the kids get tested out, and if you keep going, you keep, you know, maybe you can become a doctor, but you have to keep testing out. Or if not, you test out to be a plumber, electrician, and they're really, you know, not, they're trying to fit the person in the right spot, not trying to make everybody doctors or masters or even college. So I think United States probably needs to jump more on board with that, because everyone thinks the four-year degree is it. But I work with a lot of business owners, and they tell me, you know, I see what they make, and a lot of these blue-collar type business owners do extremely well, and sometimes better than the doctor. And, you know, you would never know it, but they hustle. They work, you know, 13, 14-hour days, and so I think that's great. What type of programs, like, you probably are building it too, but what type of programs are considered? Do you have like five or six different programs for different areas? Like you mentioned some of them. Can you talk about that so listeners can know what's available for their kids, or maybe if they're listening?
Absolutely. So as you first said, that the plumbers and electrician and welders, they make more than even with the degrees. Mm. I have a welding faculty who had already $1 million, and he's in his 30s. And he joined as a faculty position.
Dang, that's awesome.
And with just having AA degree.
Right? Yeah,
so
yeah.
They make really good money just being a welder. So we have a programs from welding, automotive. We have HVAC certification, ag science, which we have a great collaboration with University of Arizona. We also have the program from culinary art program. And as looking at the model for Germany, I was in Germany, we did certification, joint certification, where our student will get the credit for German certification. So we have electrical apprenticeship program, and there are more than 15 companies where our students are working.
And so the students would go over to Germany then?
So they get
certified. Online?
So our programs are certified.
Okay.
If any German company want to hire them,
see.
So they have the same standard.
I see.
So it's a reciprocity.
Crosswalk. Yeah, okay, perfect. Yeah. Now, I know the culinary school's been out there for a while, and I've had a couple of events out there where they, you know, make food and students help out and such. But you're growing that, right? What's your plans now as far as growing that area?
So, you know, Mark was telling earlier about SBDC, we got a CARES Act funding, and with the CARES Act funding, with the community help, you know, and this community is great. Yuma get things done. You know that about this community. We have Chris Willer, GYDC, Greg Levan, and few from college. They came together, and they started a food incubator, which is a commercial kitchen. If someone don't have their own kitchen as a small business, they can use our Arizona Western College kitchen to start their small businesses.
I see.
So this is a very first project we are moving forward. And if you already have a food business, you can get a credit prior learning assessment. You don't have to start taking Culinary 101 class. You can get up to 35 credit based on your experience so that you can finish your certification in culinary as well.
So does that mean if I'm a business food owner and business owner, I go in there and I use the kitchen and I cook? And then maybe there are students that can help. I assume that's probably
absolutely
part of it. And then is there something like if it's a recipe that's pretty straightforward, can I also subcontract that to the college so they just make so many brownies, hypothetical?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's kind of the idea. Either do it yourself, get some help from the students, or just kind of subcontract out a little bit.
Now, we have two chefs which we hired for this project. Bob Nidifer.
Nidifer. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He and Bob Gideon, they both will be the director of this project.
Okay.
So they're going to run this together, and they will teach them or help them if they need any help to run this, and teach them how to do marketing, even finance, because that's business. Running business is not just cooking.
Yeah.
Sometimes someone is a great cook.
Mm-hmm. Back end of the restaurant is just as important as the front end.
You got it right. Yeah. And you know, the finance, sometimes they don't think about it.
Sure. Especially with inflation and that, you know, food prices are going up, you know, weekly almost. So if you're not pricing the menu right, I mean, you could be indirectly losing money on everything you serve. And I think that's an issue for restaurant owners. But you mentioned Chris Miller. He owns Buffalo Wild Wings, right? That Chris Miller?
Chris Willer, the Prison Hill Brewery.
Oh, Chris Wheeler. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yep. So he owns the Yuma. I was thinking the other guy. So the Yuma Prison Hill Brewery. So that's great. So I want to hear more about what's going out there. I know there's some money, federal money that came in different areas that's going to make the campus that much better. And we'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 5:06 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Like to have certain guests come on, especially guests that have a big impact on what's going on in Yuma, the economy. We have Ritika Dewan, who was vice president out at AWC. Good morning again.
Good morning, Tom.
So we're talking about big changes happening at the college, whether it's new programs, new funding, that type of thing. And we just were finishing up about the culinary school now has a commercial kitchen, and that's going to help let business owners partake, train the students some, and hopefully a revenue source or something for the college. So that's if someone wants to participate in that, like what do they do? They call, where do they go?
There's a website which is created by Matt Molimar. So again, you know, local community stepped up. And you just fill out your information that I'm interested, and then someone, Bob, reach out to them and then say, hey, come on in.
And the website's called, it's on the AWC website?
It's on the AWC website, and
okay.
It's on social media as well.
Okay. So go to the AWC website and look for that. Now, I know you're not only getting involved on a local level, you're also doing a lot of stuff on the state level. Can you talk a little bit about there as far as influence you have and what you're doing?
I'm working with all the community colleges, and I am currently a president for the Association of Korean Technical Education for all the 10 community colleges throughout the state.
I was just going to ask, is that how many community colleges are in the state, 10?
10.
Okay.
10 districts.
Okay. Now, is a lot of them starting to move that way, do more towards the blue-collar teaching? Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the route. If you have heard that by 2025, there will be 400,000 employee shortage for manufacturing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And I know Yuma, you know, they always talk about bringing a new business, new industry, and they always talk about the workforce. So that definitely can help out. So are you guys collaborate a lot and try to help each other out and kind of, what exactly does this association do?
So this association we call AC4, this is another workforce group. So what we do is look for the grant throughout the federal and apply together as a one group.
Okay.
And if any community colleges has a good program, we help them to start the program. Community colleges. So that we all are on the same level. We work very closely with Arizona Commerce Authority and Office of Employment Opportunities.
Okay.
Economic opportunities from the state and Arizona at Work from the state. So look at the initiatives coming in.
So instead of 10 different colleges doing 10 different things, you guys try to collaborate more. And, you know, numbers is power, brain is power, more people is brain knowledge. So great. Now, you've had some success in that area, right, as far as funding?
Yeah. So we got a lot of funding in different areas. So one of the examples is from local, all the sheriff and the local police departments came together, chiefs, and asked for a local police academy. So with the help of giving credit to Jonathan Lyons, you know, stepping up on him, and then Governor Ducey, we got $7.5 million to build a police academy. And we are working on architecture design right now and hoping for by 2025 we will have a police academy.
Now, I'm familiar with the campus a little bit. Where is it going to be next to? Is it going to be next to the Schoening Center or in the back? Or do you know where it's going
to
be?
Next to the public safety building behind.
Oh, okay, public. Okay, yep. Okay. Now, I know part of the reason of them starting a police academy is they're having a hard time getting people. I think there's a waiting list, right, up in Phoenix or somewhere. So they decided it's quicker to get it done here. But what they're finding is a lot of the Phoenix people are coming down here because they can get on quicker and not have to wait, be on the waiting list. Is that right?
So what happened was when all the chiefs and Sheriff Wilmot came to us, the issue was when they sent a single cadet to go to Phoenix, it cost the department $15,000. Now, when we started this academy with the collaboration, they pay $0. So we are working with Arizona at Work local. Oh. We owe our funds, which no department have to pay any dollars. So it's free of cost.
So it's they love it because it doesn't affect our budget.
No. Ah. They saved in a year almost $2.5 million.
Yeah. And I think with what's going on with the bad rap that a lot of the law enforcement's getting with the negative media and everything else, like, this is a big deal to get more people on board to serve and protect the community, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we need them. And I give my example as sometimes a single female, you rely on them. Hmm. You know, when you live, you think about them, I am protected. That, yeah, I can call, you know, coming from other countries, sometimes you rely.
Yeah.
You see that strong law enforcement is a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Now, I was at a betteryuma.org meeting, last meeting, and Henry Valenzuela, I believe, is the union chief police, the union police officer for the union. He was saying, you know, like, just the city of Yuma, I think it's like 20, 25 people underfunded. They need, you know, they have open applications. So it's a big deal. There's a big shortage here.
Yeah. Chief Susan, we all work so well together, you know, whether it's a San Luis, Chief Jessup, or whether it's Somerton, we all come together, you know, in this and then work together. So it's a great collaboration. And then it helped them to recruit, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's probably only so many police officers that can be in this area. So it seems like eventually you're going to get outside people going to this academy and then shooting them back to different parts of the state. Is that the idea? It's going to be like the hub?
We are still getting that, and our director, Alfonso Zavala, does a great job. We are getting applicants from Coconino County, Kingman. We have La Paz County. Everyone is coming because it's free of cost and cheap compared to sending to Phoenix for $15,000. Mm-hmm. So everyone is coming to Yuma.
Sure. Now, I know housing's kind of been an issue, and I think they knocked over the old housing, right? They did. They have new housing out there now? I haven't been out there in a while.
I'm so impressed with Tom. I have to say it. He's so knowledgeable. Absolutely. So we just got $35 million revenue bond. Using that revenue bond, so you are the guru of finance, so you understand.
Yeah.
So in revenue bond, we are building two buildings. Oh. One going to be housing.
Okay.
So it will be three-story housing we are building to support like police academy, international students.
How many, you mind, how many units? I don't know if you know, just to get an idea how big it is.
Around 200 rooms.
Okay.
So that's going to be the new.
Sure. And some of them are going to be rooms that are shared, or is there, so it could be a couple people in a room. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great because I'm kind of glad. I mean, I know they probably looked at the numbers, but you see a lot of schools up in the city, they get a private company to come in and build, so they don't have to come up with $35 million, but the private company gets their money back. So if the school can have a building that's going to be there for 25, 30, 40, 40 years, and they get the revenue stream, that's stronger for the school. So I think that's a good thing.
You are absolutely right. That's why I said that Tom knows everything. You know? And then we're going to have Student Success Building, which will be remarkable. You know, in our age, we never thought there were going to be any certification like gaming. So they're going to be gaming certification, and they're going to be that gaming hub there, VR technology in that success center.
So you're talking gaming with like video games, not gambling, right?
No.
Not that kind of gaming? Okay.
No, video gaming.
Video gaming, yeah.
We are starting that certificate in the fall, and we have already 30 students on a wait list.
Well, I'm sure that's going to be the most popular degree out there.
Yeah, I want to get that one.
Yeah, my 16-year-old would probably agree with that. So.
Yeah,
but it's big business, and there's big money in it.
There's a big money.
Microsoft's had that, games that have gone on 10 years, 15 years. Mm-hmm. Minecraft, is that what it is?
Yes.
Yeah, that has been huge. Yeah. And they need programmers all the time.
Absolutely.
The thing about gaming is that anyone in the world can play it. So your audience is not a certain area, it's basically the world, right?
You may be able to play it, Tom. You won't be good at it.
No. Yeah, I don't play much games. It's too time consuming.
Yeah.
So now let me talk a little bit about, we got some, we got AWC, we got U of A, we got ASU. I believe those are the only three colleges. Or am I missing? NAU. So we kind of got different colleges. I know you're like the two-year degree is AWC, and then from there they either will leave and go somewhere else or stay in Yuma and pick a track with one of the universities and finish out their degree is the hope.
Absolutely. So I don't know whether you heard about Yuma Promise. If someone will start with a high school and then enroll in Arizona Western College and then finish their degree in a local U of A, NAU or ASU local,
here,
anything they pay out of their pocket at Arizona Western
get
College.
Get reimbursed.
Reimbursed.
So if you get your degree and you start local and end up locally, at the end, you'll get your money, you get reimbursed back.
Yeah, anything out of your pocket, you get refunded.
Yeah.
And the great thing is we have a great program with these three universities.
Mm-hmm.
The only ag science program in the community colleges, which is very strong with the University of Arizona, is at Arizona Western College. And this program with the University of Arizona is a great program, ag science. We have a great collaboration.
Yeah. And I think U of A, Tucson, is trying to get more classes where you can be in the fields and be in living it, and not in a city studying farming where there's not much farming or that. So I think Yuma is getting more of on the radar to have these type of classes that are more hands-on and such.
Absolutely, even USDA looking at more at the rural communities where we have this and giving those up opportunities and grants and funding. So U of A got some funding from USDA and Arizona Western College, around $500,000 each,
mm-hmm.
for the ag science program to develop more and then provide those trainings.
So I always wonder, I just think about stuff, but, you know, nowadays if I wanted to get furniture in my house, I can go to many websites, buy a chair, buy a couch. I don't have to just use one website. So at some point, it seems to me like with these many colleges in Yuma, there might be a point where you can build a build a degree, and whether you want to take a science at U of A or ASU or NAU, as long as it's credited, then the student can pick. So you end up with a degree, but it could be from multiple classes. And I know it's not there yet, but it seems to me like that's where these degrees should be heading. I don't know. That's just my thought. Any thought on that?
You are absolutely right. They are. There's a group working on it together, where there will be one space allocated to all the three universities. But I love the idea. I hope Dr. Kaur is listening to this and then implement this idea. We need to go in that route. Absolutely.
And not only that, but it would actually let the, to me, it'd be a little bit more competitive too, because if one school has a better science program or something, then the other school would have to step it up a little bit. Or one class is full, they can go to another class. I got kids in college right now, and there's nothing more frustrating than, well, you can't take that class till like next fall. And you're like, okay, well, that's more time, money, and energy, and everything, food. So now I know, you know, we're close to El Centro, and they got a community college. Is there, I know U of A does a little collaboration with them because my sister, you know my sister, right, Tanya Hodges?
Yeah.
So are you doing much with them? I mean, on the junior college level or not really?
So we do. Most of the time we steal their students. They come to us.
Okay,
so,
yeah. So it's a feeding hub.
Feeding hub.
Okay.
So our programs are a little more higher, some of the programs. So the students come here for those programs. But we do collaboration crosswalk with them for their credits. So if they take the credit there, and then we give them the credit, same. They don't have to repeat those courses.
Perfect. So that makes sense. Hey, we're going to take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Good Friday to everybody. Hope everybody stays cool. I know they will. we got our guest here today from Arizona Western College, Ritika Dewan, who's the vice president out there in charge of different areas. Good morning again.
Good morning, Tom.
So we're talking about what's happening on the local phase with the junior colleges, even the four-year degree colleges. I went to one of the speaking programs out at I think it's the hotel on the freeway. I forgot the name of it. But they were talking about the collaboration across the border with schooling. And you can you talk a little bit about what's going on there and what's trying to happen?
So we have a Mexicali, and then we have Zacate, San Luis, Mexico, Sonora. There are a lot of technical programs which are very similar to Arizona Western College on this side of the border. So we were trying to look at their credential. and then see to see if we can crosswalk. There will be, they have to still take certain courses here because their equivalency can't be that similar.
Yeah.
It's not always, you know, I came from India.
Sure.
So still I have to take certain courses to get, you know, the standards are different in every country.
Because like you say, you don't want to be an electrician and then you blow stuff up because you're not trained right. So you have to have a certain standard and you're trying to keep the standard. Yeah. Nursing and that?
Absolutely. I give example. I have an electrician, Bruce. One day I said, yeah, in India, I did electrician degree. So I said, yeah, I can just join the wires. He said, please don't do that here.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a different in country, 240 watts and sure. 120 volts. It's very different. So the concept and the credentials are different. But there's a lot of collaboration opportunities. Being borders so close to us, certain programs like Promotoras, which is community health workers.
And that pretty receptive to it also, like across the border? Are they kind of, because it has to be both people have to find that middle ground and the interest.
Absolutely. There's a lot of programs where we can really work together as a one team. So, and then see how we can bring that talent to Yuma, Arizona Western College, or Yuma County, because a lot of them who live there are dual citizen. So that's an advantage. Yeah. They can come here and do that programming to Yuma County.
And I know at the program or talk I went to, they were saying when a business wants to move into Yuma, they just look at the Yuma population. But what they don't understand, if you had San Luis, Mexico, Mexicali, now the labor force just, you know, went a lot higher. And that, so it should hopefully bring in some bigger businesses eventually, I think it's the plan, right?
Absolutely. Look at Piana. Piana even got the Tesla's contract and they are in San Luis. And the reason they went to San Luis is the labor force.
Mm-hmm.
And then the training, we have to do certain level, but I do think there is so much we can do together, even train them and then offer them even certain rate of tuition so that they can come over and get that.
Yeah. A lot of people don't realize this, but Mexicali has a lot of graduate degrees, even on the medical side, you know, and I'm not sure how that collaborates, but I do know that there's some doctors that practice in Yuma, but they either went to South America for the degree. I think they had to pass something to, you know, so that's another area that, you know, not only can we look at undergrad, let's look at grad school. I mean, if we can do something on that front.
Absolutely. As you said, nursing and the healthcare program, there is a lot of crosswalk, but they do have to take certain exams to do their expertise to showcase that they are equivalent to in the United States as well.
Mm-hmm. So one of the other things that is new to the table is there's something going on with the Yuma Regional Medical Center and the AWC campus. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so Arizona Western College and Dr. Trenchell from CEO of Yuma Regional Medical Center trying to collaborate on an agreement to build a healthcare building together, and which will cost around $35 million. And this is going to really benefit Yuma because every single program from surgical tech, respiratory tech, dental hygiene, and physical therapy assistant, you name the program and behavioral health, where our community is leaving Yuma and not coming back. Mm-hmm. We're going to bring those programs to Yuma. And then once this healthcare building is built and these programs, it's going to be at close to hospital. So student will see and the residency will
hands
be there.
Hands-on
clinical stuff. They will do their clinical rotation there
mm-hmm.
and meet with real experience. And if you will have the residents doing their expertise at the same campus as Arizona Western College, mm-hmm. students will see that, and that will take them to next level.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you say that because my daughter goes to Texas Lutheran University, which is right outside of San Antonio, mm-hmm. and she just got in the nursing program. But they pride themselves on is they have five different hospitals in that region, and the students will go and do a lot of hands-on. And I think they said when they graduate, they have so many hands-on hours that that makes them kind of better than a nursing degree because then you need to get the practice, right, after you get the degree. Well, they do it as they go, so that's more hands-on, so that's better for everybody, even the patient.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If we don't have our employer, like YRMC Health, our healthcare program will not survive.
Yeah.
we need the support from YMC. So it goes hand by hand. Yeah.
Money makes the world go around, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So you got the police academy, you got the new dorms and the student center. Then you got the YMC coming in with their building program. So a lot going on the campus.
Yeah. The one thing we are working right now is a fashion design certification with Polimada Institute of Italy. So I hope that certificate will be ready to be offered by 2023 spring. So what's going to happen with that certification is if we will able to finish that, the student will do their internship in Gucci's or Salvador Ferragamo in Italy with Polimada Institute.
Wow.
So they came to us to partner.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm working on that. So it's really at a very early stage to write the curriculum. So it will take a year to have really launched that. So that will put us on.
So are they doing it at other colleges already and they want to add you guys? Or they strictly looked at you guys? How did you guys hit the radar?
So I was presenting in Atlanta for Germany, that certification. And there was an ambassador from Italy. She came to me and said, hey, would you like to collaborate with this school of fashion design in Polimada? And they have a school in L.A., Los Angeles, and they also have in New York.
Oh, so that's great. Maybe once you get it, you can help Russ on his fashion because I know he needs a little.
I could do some work.
I had to throw that in there. So you look good, Russ.
Yeah.
So that's great. And, you know, fashion is such a, you almost think of like Hollywood or New York City or Paris. So if you can bring it down to the level of a community like Yuma, that would probably cause a lot of people to really go out and find some big jobs, higher places. And that's awesome, I think. I did read something about that, but I wasn't sure what that meant. So would a lot of that be kind of they would set the curriculum? You train at AWC, and then they would do a lot of online classes, or how would that work? Being in Italy,
so our plan is we will create a curriculum, and looking at their curriculum, very similar to that, so they can accept the credit what AWC is offering.
I see.
And then the last course, three-credit course or the internship for 6 months, the our students will go there at that school and do internship.
Okay.
Experience, work-based experience learning at those institutes.
And probably pass a certain criteria so they're happy with what they get.
And then do their bachelor's or the next level certification with that fashion design school in Italy.
Okay.
So that's the pathway there.
Well, what city in Italy? Do you remember?
I will have a name. I'm going to get you.
Because I'm thinking a lot of kids would really like that, right? I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be great. Try something new. And if you will see, they invited me in June to go see their fashion design show, and they have a YouTube video on that. It's brilliant. Our kids will love it. I have one friend, from the airport director who introduced me, who's an NFL player's wife, and she said, I will create this. And she's in Nashville who's creating this program for me. And then she said, I will do it, and I will even go through the school. She was impressed.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this will bring some attention to Yuma.
Sure. So. Yeah, that'd be great. Because, you know, there's a artistic ability in town. I mean, you see it, but there's really not an artistic outlet in town. I hate to say it, right? So that would be a great way to get people involved in, you know, graphic design and other things. So that's great. But you might have to build another dorm, right, once you keep adding these programs. Because I could see a lot of kids from California and that with the cost of school in California, if they want to get in that area, would come out here and stay at the dorm and take the, you know, do that. So,
and then if you know that Build Back Better grant, which University of Arizona, Arizona Western College, GYDC, and then same thing, economic development from Tucson, Startup Tucson. We all Southern Arizona collaborated together. And if we got that funding, there will be so many new programs and initiatives will start in Yuma as well as in Tucson.
I see.
So we're going to hear soon on that too.
So the Build Back Better that they're trying to pass is what you're talking about. So there was money in there to be allocated to this area?
There was a grant application, and up to $58 million you can apply. So we wrote a project together. The first phase was approved. Then we went to a second phase, University of Arizona, with emphasis on climate adaptability, ag science, and then so we are looking to see where we go with that.
Yeah.
And we submitted the second application, and we are crossing our finger. And we were invited, 11 applicants were final on that hub.
You know, now that you're thinking about blue-collar work, and I know, I'm not to beat a dead horse, but I know at one point they put all the solar out at the college, and they were going to, like, be the solar hub. But that's still a lot. I mean, that's a blue-collar job, the installation and how it works, and maybe even the technology, because Yuma's sunny as you can get. So is that starting to get traction out there, solar, or is that not so much?
So we have a solar program, and it's students, not that many. It's in Welton.
Okay.
But we have great electrical solar together program. The students, still we get an interest. So 24 students per semester, but that's good.
Yeah, because you got to start somewhere. I mean, I remember when U of A started in Yuma, the first class was like 20 people, and then now it's a couple hundred.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And not only that, but with all the solar being put up around the country, you know, someone has to do that job. I mean, that's, so.
Yeah. And we do, you know, we don't appreciate, but every day, if you look at it, we need plumbers, we need electricians, we need, mechanics. And I do appreciate them every single day, what they do. And I would like to see the Germany model. Sometime we also see here where they consider based on their level of experience and training, they give them the master's level technician and say they have almost equivalent to master's.
Then you can write your ticket and probably go anywhere in any city if you wanted to, right, once you get the master's. Yeah. Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC. An SEC registered investment advisor.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. We got our guest here from AWC, the Vice President, Ritika Dewan, who's involved in a lot of the programs that are being set up through the schools and collaborating with the other schools and trying to get some more blue-collar type certifications to help kids move on with their lives. So good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
So I know there, and time flies, but I know like 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was some type of collaboration with the Yuma Proving Ground trying to get some more of the engineers involved because they need engineers out there. Can you talk a little bit about that arrangement and kind of update us on that?
So I have to give a lot of credit to your sister, Tanya Hodges, also on that. Almost 7, 8 years ago, we applied for a grant together, NSF, National Science Foundation, for future grant for this program for engineering. And we sat together, basically her at that time, I was faculty, but we brought the engineering program down in Yuma. 100% they can finish their system engineering in Yuma and through a pipeline, 2+2.
Mm-hmm.
So they take the courses at Arizona Western College, all the 100 level and 200 level, and then 300 and 400 level in local Yuma, Arizona.
Okay.
And they go at YPG, and they do their internship, and they also get hired. Almost, if you look at their engineers at Trax,
mm-hmm.
I will say 60% or 100%. They
sure.
are local, you know, and they are U of A grad. So which is, we are proud of that collaboration with Arizona Western College and University of Arizona, and for not only ag science program, but for engineering program, because that's a huge need.
Sure.
It's for Yuma Proving Ground.
Yeah. And I think they're doing the same thing with the ag, because they do the intern with different ag, and then they almost get hired, most of them do, you know, immediately.
Absolutely.
Which is a big deal, because that means they don't leave Yuma. So the money stays local, they spend money local, have kids, buy a house, all that local, so it helps the economy out. So,
absolutely, because think about it, in the ag science field, agriculture, you don't just need AA. You do need bachelor's, you'd sometimes need master's, you need a certification like PCAs.
Mm-hmm.
So you need very certain specific specialization, and U of A have that.
Mm-hmm.
The hub down there, Paul Briley, what he's doing, you know,
sure.
Russ Engel, that research center of U of A, and Tanya across the street having that ag science program, all courses you can take it here. This is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, I tell this story, they get so impressed that we have this collaboration with for ag science program.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, it's good to see the universities kind of working together and not necessarily competition, although they are, but they're not. But, you know, keeping the kids first in mind and then the programs first in mind. So, but you've been a big asset to Yuma. I mean, I just kind of follow certain things, social media, and see what's going on. And you're definitely a mover and a shaker. So that's good.
Oh, no, Tom, thank you. I'm honored. I'm humble. This community has given me a lot. You know, you all, I can name so many leaders, you know, Russ Jones, Shelley Mellon, you know, Chris Weller, you know, like Russ Clark, you know, I can name so many, and, you know, Julie Engel, you all have given so much to me, and I so appreciate you all.
And, you travel quite a bit, because you just mentioned you're going to be going to Tennessee here pretty quick, and you've been to Germany not too recent, mm-hmm. so that's probably fun part of your job, huh?
I'm presenting at three places, first in Tucson, and regarding, since I'm a president of association, so there's I'm talking about what's happening at the state level at community colleges and CTE.
Okay.
And then Nashville, this is a conference for colleges where I'm going. Then coming back to, I'm going to Utah, and our proposal for Yuma got selected to present on high-tech conference. So we're doing something which other community colleges are not doing. You know, you see that how you have to take math course to be a welder, but we created a math for welders.
Oh, I see.
So they do the welding.
So if you don't need to learn certain math, why learn it? Just do welding math, right?
Correct.
That sounds pretty simple, but that wasn't the case. I mean,
So sometimes they take like the algebra course. Tom, you understand, we just not teach them really what you're going to do in a welding course.
Correct.
So they don't know the conversion.
Yeah.
How to cut the piece and a certain height and the length and the width. So they didn't understand the area, the perimeter, the, mm-hmm. you know, so those vocabulary, by doing it, they learn better. So that's what we created a course.
Okay.
So we are presenting on that for Yuma, what we have done.
Yeah, that's great. So, but a little backstory on you. I know you're from India. So what, how did you make your way to the States, or your parents, or what, can you tell us a little bit about that?
So it's a very, I was never going to come. I never thought I'm going to come to US. It was like, you know, sometimes people think that, you know, I'm going to go to just make some money. Uh-huh. I was engaged to a guy in Indian Army, and he came here. When he went back, his parents asked for dowry. Do you know dowry?
Yeah, I know dowry.
So they asked for money to get married to a girl.
Oh, yes.
Right? So they asked that, oh, I'm an American return. You have to pay, like, in American currency, around $20,000 to get married to me, because, like, my status is a little higher now, his parents said. And I said, anyone can go to America. And he said, no. And I said, I can prove you. So I was working at the university at that time. Uh-huh. So I just applied for, you know, like, exchange visitor program. And I said, I'm going to just go for 6 months and go back to my university. Mm-hmm. So I applied, and the job was high school. I said, okay, I'm going to just prove it and be back to my country. And I was 27 year old. My grandparents and my mom and dad was like, why are you leaving? You have everything here. And I said, no, I'm just going to go.
Sure. Just experiment.
That 6 months, I'm still here.
And obviously you had a decision to make after 6 months, because you could have gone back. What is it that you saw that made you want to stay?
So my that principal at that high school asked me to stay there, where I was teaching math and physics. He said, we really have a hard time in Parker to recruit someone. Can you give us one more year?
Okay.
So then I stayed for one more year. And then the opportunities which I got, you know, like, no one judge you. As you said, Russ, like, sometimes females think that I can't be.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, there's a glass ceiling, supposedly,
more doors
somewhere.
And you keep opening more doors, and pretty soon you keep going. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So this is really a thing, you know, this country is opportunities. Yeah. You know, it's a dream.
And was that high school here in Yuma?
Parker.
No, in Parker.
Okay.
Yeah.
In a 1,000 square foot town. That's where I started. And I remember my principal came to Phoenix to pick me up, and I asked, why are you coming? I can take a train. He said, there's no train. And and I said, I can take a bus. He said, no bus. Parker.
Yeah.
So I was surprised on that.
So I'm sure your ex-fiancé is kicking himself in the butt not to figure that out, right?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him since that time, right?
I'm trying to think here, but seems like what I'd like to do is maybe have you on about every 6 months or so, and then we can keep getting updated. I know sometimes I have Dr. Koran, he's came on before, but you guys all talk about different areas, and everyone has different interests and things, it's nice. I think, you know, this water issue, I mean, I went to one of the meetings a month ago, and it's a serious issue for the state, and I know... Whenever you get academics together, I'm sure that's discussion too, and it's going to affect everybody, even the schools. So maybe there's some water technology or something that the school can bring on. I know Israel's kind of cutting edge on that. That'd be a good collaboration.
Desalination, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Or.
So you know that I'm on it all the time when I hear something. So we will have NDRIP already. I'm giving them the land at Arizona, not I am, right? Yeah. Like college, you know. So NDRIP going to do their research at Arizona Western College on their dripping system.
Okay. And that was in the paper about a month ago, I think, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it saves, what, 80%? It saves 80% of the water or something?
Absolutely. Yeah. And then when I...
And you put that together?
For NDRIP, I was at one of the conference in Phoenix in meeting. I saw Tim Dunn there.
Okay.
So Tim Dunn was like, let me introduce you to NDRIP. Mm. And then I have their CEO. I said, come on to the college. I want to show you our ag science program. And that's it. And we got it for our college. And we are looking at a next collaboration with Desert Control, which is another Israeli company. And their CEO going to be at the college on August 2nd, so that week. So looking at the next collaboration there too.
And then I know too, like the big thing, especially with farming and other areas, drones, right? Hmm. And don't you guys have like a little program for that?
We do. We have a GIS certification, and we have an unmanned aerial system drone certification at the college.
Uh-huh.
And any student get out of that program get hired in single day.
So, yeah, the drones are just becoming more and more endless things as far as what it can do. I don't know if you heard, I might just say it, but the railroads now are going to have a drone fly in front of them about a mile or half a mile. So looking out, because train crashes cost money, lawsuits, they got to fix the tracks, people might get killed. So the drones are going to be just flying. So
I need one to follow me around when I drive.
And it's a great idea, right? Because you can't afford a train crash, it's too much money. So, hey, well, thanks for coming on. We'll have you on again. And everybody in Yuma, you're an asset to this community. And follow her on social media with Tika Dewan, and we'll see what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
How long ago was that that you came over?
2007.
2007. So you've been here 13 years. It's been coming for some
time. And my dad was ready.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Republican, so and I came very. I paid like every year to become a citizen. I paid like a certain amount of lawyer fees, you know, the process to get legalized, naturalized. So for me, so to get a citizenship for my exchange visitor program.
From the 1 hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.
Again, and then I changed it to green card, and then it changed to naturalized citizen. So it took me years, and then when someone just get it, you know.
Yeah, you should have just walked across the
border. Right?
Hey, Russ.
Nice seeing you, man.
Thank you, Russ. How are you doing, brother?
Hello, I'm Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
What's up, my friend?
Mark's gonna get me all set up over
here. Hey, something else I noticed on this button bar thing.
Yeah, but he's having a problem this morning.
I can use.
Number 180899. By providing opportunities to obtain homeownership.